full house, with the exception of a few spots, and that's exciting. And again, we are, unveiling, if you want to call it, our theme for the year, Here We Grow. And again, we talked about that just a few minutes ago, about grow individually, grow collectively as a family, and then that will help our church grow. In church growth in the world today, a lot of new things, newfangled things are out there. A lot of churches are into the survey. They'll go and they'll send the survey to the area and say, you know, what makes you comfortable? And we want to make our church make you feel comfortable. And so they've painted their ceilings black and they've got, you know, rainbow colored lights and some fog machines and got some kind of disco band playing, you know, 'cause to make people feel comfortable. I don't find that in the Bible. All right, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to grow that way. And that's what they're doing. They're looking for that trend or that, that event to cause their church to grow. And it does for a little while. But then, obviously, once you find out that, you know, God's not in that and there's no growth for you, it kind of, you know, peters out. And then there's a lot of people that, you know, they want to trust things like that. That banner there is not going to cause anybody to come here. And I have a banner ordered for the foyer that I'm going to pick up Wednesday. And I got some little invite cards that I've got that I'm going to pick up Wednesday and have out there in the track rack and so forth. But again, banners and tracks are not going to help this church grow. All right, it's going to take us. What's the Bible say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So all we got to do is just go brag on Jesus. Maybe pass out an invitation and invite somebody and just brag on how good the Lord is, how God has blessed our church, and let Him bring them. I heard a preacher one time say that when he was a little boy, his dad and him were building a house. And his dad was actually building the house. He was too little. But he would say, I want you to take your wagon, and I want you to go over to that stack of two-by-fours, and I want you to load it up, and then bring them over here. And so he would take over there, and I don't know how many he could get on his wagon, five or six, and he'd bring them over there. And he said his dad would pick it up and look at it, and he'd put that one in this stack, and he'd look at it, and he'd throw that one in that stack. And he did that all day long. And he asked his dad, what's the difference? He said, well, I want straight two-by-fours to build this. I can't have crooked ones to build this. So he put them in the different stacks. That's basically what we're going to do. Let's just bring them to God, and God can find out if they're usable or not. All right, we're not going to do the judging. And so forth. So you just bring them, and God will help us. But anyway, we're going to talk about today, Here We Grow. In Luke chapter 2, we'll be there in a little bit. We're going to see that Jesus was the perfect example of growing. The definition of grow is to spring up or growing like a weed, some of you might have been saying or been said to you by your grandmother. Or you're just growing like a weed. So, of course, that's a normal thing. Growing is to spring up or to be developed in maturity. Some of us may be grown as far as our body, but maybe our maturity level's not there. Anyway, we won't get into that. But growing has a specific place and situation. It's a process or a natural growth through time. I did a little bit of research on this. There's a disease that causes people to grow too rapidly. And again, I'm probably not going to say it right, but it's acromegaly or acromaly or whatever. But acromegaly is how I would pronounce it, I guess, is a disease that causes you to grow too fast. And I've met people like this. I remember I was out recruiting people for college one time. And so, of course, we were in different churches. And so, you know, you didn't go up to the four-year-olds and give them a college, you know, reforms or things like that. You were looking for teenagers and older. And so there was this one guy, he was a good bit taller than I was. And I went up to him and I gave him a college piece of paper to fill out to put him on the roll that we could mail him stuff. And he's like, I'm only 12. All right, but he was like 6'5". And I'm like, whoa. And so, again, he had this disease. It caused you to grow too fast. Now, that's a principle in the Bible that God doesn't want to happen. And we'll look at that in just a second. Of course, we know retardation is a disease that causes us not to develop as we should. And so, of course, even, you know, physically and mentally, we see here development is growth. In other words, I wished back when I was in school that, you know, I went to K-4 that first day and I thought, okay, I'm done with school. I wish I could have graduated right then. I would have been fine with that. other than, you know, sports, girls, and food. That's about all I liked about school. But, you know, you have to have it all. It's a methodical growth. You don't get it all in one day. And again, it's a problem if you do. And some principles about this. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. So a person in leadership, you know, they say these days, kids having kids. That's not God's plan. Okay. Again, we even said it this morning. You know, if I was as smart as I am now, back when I was 12, there was probably a whole lot of things that I would not have done. But that's just not the way life is. It's slow and methodical. So you don't take somebody that's a novice and make them a pastor. You don't take somebody that's a novice in the Christian life and make them a Sunday school teacher. No, you have somebody that's grown so that they can not be taken up with pride. And so we see also in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. That approved means growth. In other words, you can teach a Sunday school class, or you can win a soul to Christ, or you can preach a sermon, or you can raise a family through the Bible or biblically if you've studied to show yourself approved. You've grown to that point to help you be fulfilled. Why? So a workman, unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you've grown to the part in your biblical knowledge, you can divide that and teach it. Isaiah 28:13 talks about this. It says here, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and they fall backward into be broken in a snare and taken. So we see here the word of God is to be precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's what we do. Those of us that's been in church a long time, we started in the nursery, and maybe they sang some nursery songs. And they did some verses that we might can memorize. But then again, you know, you feel kind of odd sometimes. It's still true, but, you know, as an adult singing a nursery song. Why? Because you've grown past that. The truth's still there. But we see here it's line upon line, precept upon precept. So growth will help us. We ought to keep a growth chart. Now, again, I'm not saying that you ought to, you know, I'm going to show you some examples of that. But, you know, you take your kid to the pediatrician when they're little, and they check them out. They listen to their heart. They listen to their lungs. They take their temperature. They look in their eye. They look up their nose hole. They look in their ear. They count their fingers, their toes, things like that. What are they doing? They're establishing a base. They have what they need. Now, if you take them back 10 years later and they're still the same size, there's a problem. And hopefully you found out before 10 years. But anyway, there's something going on here and they need to do what? That's what they're doing. Even us adults. I'm going to have to find a new doctor up here. I don't like going. But, you know, I'm going to have to, maybe a doctor down there sends some references up and records up to know, establishing a base. So we take them to a pediatrician. And they'll tell you, this person's in this percentile. You know, your child's head is in the 100th percentile. In other words, they look like a weeble and a wobble. They got a big head. Maybe they'll grow into it. You know, you never know. But anyway, you know, they're in this percentile. Or you got a little small kid. My youngest granddaughter, she's a year old, but she's small. I call her little bit. She is real small. And she's just learning to walk. And we got videos of it. I'll show you if you'd like to see it. But she's doing this. But she's probably in the lower percentile as height-wise. And I think she was the longest one when they were born. So she's going to be short. But anyway, they have growth charts. You have what they call photo albums or your yearbooks, things like that. We did this to our boys when they graduated from high school. We had a long frame, and we had his K-4 picture, his K-5 picture, his first grade, all the way through. And, oh, isn't that cute? Oh, that was the zit years. Everybody's been there. Oh, that was this. You know, they were starting to get facial hair, you know, all three of them and so forth. They had that growth in the pictures, and you kept up with it. We were weird. We had frames in our house of when they were this age, and you know, they're still in those frames, you know, their whole life, all the way up to their married family. So you kept up with it by pictures. You know, in sports, you had pictures. Why? Because they were growing physically. They were growing mentally. Hopefully they were growing socially, and they were growing spiritually. And so, again, I had pictures of that, and my wife had pictures of that. We had pictures, you know, when our babies were little. One of our boys, we had to, you know, we would look at him and we'd put our hand down by his nose and we'd try to see if his belly was moving. You know, is he alive? I mean, because he was so quiet, he never made a peep. And so we were always wondering, is he alive? And he is, because he's still alive today. The other one, not so much. You didn't have to wonder if he was alive, because he was crying 24/7, and I'd say for 4 years. My wife always fixes it and says 4 months. I guess he had colic, and he didn't like that. So we didn't have to wonder if he was alive. And I think that's why he could sing so good. His lungs were very developed when he got that old. It's a growth. So when you get a baby, you know, it just lays there. And then, you know, your wife comes flying in. He rolled over! I mean, it was like a great accomplishment. You know, he was laying there, and now he rolled over. All right? And, you know, they try to video it. Back in our kids' days, we had the video camera. Okay, do it. And he wouldn't do it, you know. You turn it off. Whoop, ah! And, okay, do it. And he wouldn't do it. Turn it off. And so, anyway, they were just laughing at us. But you have that growth process. They laid there. They rolled over. You know, they took their first step. And again, that same one that cried for 4 years, his first 4 years of life looked like we abused him. Every picture had a bruise, stitches. It was just crazy. But it's a growth. And so then they took their first step, and then they were walking without falling, and then they were running and jumping. Our grandson, Jay, was up on the top bunk. That's not allowed, you know, because he's only two. And we're like, don't tell him don't get up there, because Daddy, he would get up there when he was two, and we'd hear this, boom! And then about 5 minutes later, boom! And he was jumping off the top bunk onto his beanbag. And it was all fine and good until one day, boom! And little white beads went all over the room. You know. But anyway, so don't tell him not to get up there. You did it. But anyway, it was growth. And it's normal. It's natural. Again, and that's a normal thing. I would like to help maybe some younger couples to start this. We kept up with their ages. We kept up with their growth, their hobbies, and things like that. They both got their first deer picture. And, you know, not to be gross, but, you know, when you kill your first deer, you're supposed to get initiated. All right, so we initiated their face a lot. And so we've got that picture. One of them loves it. Oh, he's a gory guy. The other one's like, Dad, that's dumb. But anyway, we did that. We kept up with it. We kept up with their sports, things like that. But we got them their first Bible. And in their first Bible, we wrote down their salvation date. We wrote down their baptismal date. We wrote down the day that they said, I feel like that I should surrender my life to the Lord. The Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice. And so we want to make it official. Now we said, now look, we want you to do it. We're not making you do it. But what you got to realize, if you give your life to the Lord to do with whatever He wants, that's what you're saying. Okay? Then you don't take it back and say, I'm going to go play this or I'm going to go be with this. You're saying, God, do whatever. Now, if you are those, that's fine. And so we got that date written down. They both surrendered to preach. We wrote that down. Again, we didn't tell them, don't do this because of Dad. Don't do this because of Mom. If God's calling you, you surrender, you do it. We wrote down the day they won their first soul to Christ. And why? Because we wanted to keep a track of their growth spiritually. And we tried to make just as big a deal about that as we did any home run they hit or any basket they shot or made or any deer they killed. So 1 Peter 2:2 says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. So we've got to help our kids grow. We ought to continue to grow. The boys, I remember they had milk and then my wife added cereal and then they had baby food. Don't ever try to taste that. You know, the kid's like, that's not that bad. Oh, don't buy that one again. But anyway, we did give them baby food. And then I remember, you know, having to cut everything or smash everything so they could eat it. It was a glorious day a couple times in life. When diapers were done, woo, it was like getting a raise. All right. And then when they could cut their own food. All right, so I could go ahead and eat because I get hangry. But anyway, they could cut their own meat. But we never could fill them up. I don't think we could even today. So I remember growing spiritually as a teenager. I remember at 17 years old, I went to my first camp, Christian camp, at 17. And they divided us on teams, and we could have called it competition because everything, you know, the fastest person to this and the fastest person to that. But they were doing, okay, stand up and say the books of the Bible, and you get 100 points for your team. 17 years old, I couldn't do that. Help my team. I know the books of the Bible. Before that week was over, I got those 100 points. Tried. I was getting smashed in sword drills. Again, if you don't know me, I'm competitive. I'll race you to that back door. I'll knock you down to try to get there, but then I'll help you back up because I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm very competitive. But, I mean, they're like, okay, Bible's above your head. I'm like, you know, Genesis 1:1. I couldn't find it. Everybody's like, I'm in the beginning. So next year I went, my mom got what I call a cheater Bible. She got the little thumb things with all the abbreviations. So I was at least participating. All right, but I still couldn't do it very good. But, you know, I can find pretty much everything now. So praise the Lord, that was back when I was 17. So you got to grow. I remember, getting killed at sword drills. I remember learning Bible stories for the first time as a 17-year-old, Bible principles that I had to add to my life. I remember sitting in church as a teenage boy, like on the edge of my seat listening to my preacher. In chapel at school, listening. At camp, listening. Why? I was loving it. I was wanting to go from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. You got to desire that if you're going to grow. I went to Bible college and studied, learned. I've been teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible for over 38 years now. Love it, but still don't have it mastered. Still find nuggets often. But it's a growing process. I remember, and I said this in Sunday school, I remember growing as a soul winner. My first job as a soul winner was what I called the track toter. That was my job. I went with my preacher, and he's like, you tote the tracks. So that was it. I was the track toter, but I was being involved. And I remember taking my next step from track toter to actual door knocker. And he said, you learn how to knock on a door. Oh, it's not that hard. All right. And so forth. But I remember going from track toter to door knocker, being the silent partner, learning, listening. Bringing my friends to church and to my pastor and my dad, let them witness, actually witnessing, stumbling all over myself trying to do that, but winning that first person, the Lord, what a blessing. It was exciting. And if you've done this a long time, it's hard to do that, to lead someone to Christ. But it's harder to do that in getting them in there. Now, I've led a lot of people to the Lord, but a lot less to do that because that's the next step in their obedience. So I remember going home one day from teaching at school, and I pulled into our subdivision, and I got to the stop sign, and there was a lady sitting there in the car, and she was just sitting there with her head down. And I'm like, honk, honk. And so I got out. What? And, you know, as ladies do a lot of times, mechanically speaking, I was like, what's wrong? It won't go. That was it. And, it was running, but it won't go. And I was like, have y'all had any work done on it lately? Has it been acting up? She goes, well, my husband put a transmission in it the other day. I was like, uh-oh. So I looked down there, and sure enough, he didn't torque the bolts, and they had backed out. And so I was like, well, I'll tow you home. So I hooked a snatch rope to her when I towed her to the house because it was running so she could steer and brake, praise the Lord. And so we get her home. And so I was like, okay, y'all have a good evening. And I go to drive away, and the Holy Spirit's like, dude. Holy Spirit calls me dude. Right? He's like, dude, perfect opportunity to witness to somebody. You helped them out. They almost feel obligated to listen to you. Okay, I went back, trying to be obedient, knocked on the door. I was like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm an assistant pastor at a church. I should have invited you. My bad, my fault. Let me give you a track. And so her husband comes to the door. I led both of them to the Lord. Right there. They both got saved. And they're like, we're coming tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, right, sure. because a lot of times they'll tell you they're coming tomorrow and you never see them again. But they're like, we're coming tomorrow. And sure enough, they come. And I mean, right behind them is like 8 kids, I think it was. It was a couple of his, a couple of hers, and a couple of theirs. One of those Brady Bunch things. I mean, kids everywhere. They go to junior church. They come into normal church, the ones old enough, things like that. All those kids get saved that day. And all 12, I guess 10 was, I think it was 8 kids and 2, all 10 of them got baptized. That was awesome. But it took growth to do that. I didn't go from never leading a person to Christ to having 10 people baptized in a day. And it takes a lot of effort to get somebody saved. It takes even more effort to get them to follow the Lord and be a believer's baptism. It takes harder work, a lot more than that, to get them to join the church and become a member. And then them actually leading someone to Christ. So when you lead someone to Christ and they one day lead someone to Christ, that is the true fulfillment of the Great Commission. But it takes growth. Some other verses in the Bible, it talks about growth. Psalm 92:12 says this, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And of course, if you live in Florida like I've done for a long time, you see palm trees everywhere. And they do. They flourish. They grow high. And again, when you first get them, you can trim them, all the dead fronds off right there. Then they start getting a little bit taller. You got to get a ladder. And then I don't recommend this, but the last couple we had at our church property were so tall, the only way I could get there is put my tree stand on it, go up there with my pole saw, and stand on my tippy toes. But they flourish. They grow. But we see here righteousness, living righteously, behaving righteously, trying to be righteous helps you grow, helps you flourish, and grow like a cedar in Lebanon, big and strong and grounded. So we see here, when you grow, the Bible talks a lot about this, about the soil being planted by the rivers of the water and being fallen on this type of soil and this type of soil. So righteously helps our soil, and righteously considers is like, I guess, fertilization. Living that way helps you be strong. Psalm 144:12 says this, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters may be as a cornerstone polished after the similitude of the palace. So we see here, as a family, it's our job to help our kids grow. It's our job to help our kids polish. Again, we talked about those zit years a while ago. Clearasil was a big thing at our house. We don't want that. Right, so we tried to help them with that. But cleanliness, go take a shower. I did. No, you just turned the water on and came back. We taught them. You know, brush your teeth means not wet your toothbrush. We taught them to be clean. But then we taught them to be social. You need to have friends. Must show yourself friendly. Quit whining about not having friends and just go be friendly. It'll take care of itself. You teach them that. They grow socially. So we see here our sons, we want them to grow like plants. Our daughters, we want them to be even more polished. Again, I never got to do. I pulled a lot of pigtails. All right, that was it. That was the thing back at my old church. Here comes Brother Stanley. Watch out if you have a ponytail. I told him all the time, ponytails are for pulling. All right, boom. And again, that was just one thing. But I never got to do hairdos. Probably wouldn't have been good at it anyway. And I definitely never had to do makeup, things like that. But we're supposed to raise our kids. And help them to be grown and help them to be polished. Malachi 4:2 says this, grown up as calves in a stall. Grown up as calves in a stall. Some of you may do this. You raise a calf and butcher it and have T-bones and roast and things like that. Maybe you do Porky Pig and you have pork chops and things like that. But you raise them. But putting them in a stall obviously helps them grow quicker. You can give them better food, more nutrients. And so that's what this is talking about. When we're trying to raise our kids, we keep them in a stall. Well, what else does a stall do? It keeps them protected and sheltered. I had this told to me by relatives all the time. Oh, you shelter your kids. You shelter your kids. You shelter your kids. Yes, I do. Amen. And I'm no qualms about it. And again, you look at the Bible, consider the end of their conversation. Let's look, again, not braggadociously, but praise God. Let's look at your kids now and my kids now. I'll take mine all the time. Why? You keep them in a stall. You keep them protected from the outside. Amen. This helps them grow like they should. And we see here it gives them better food, gives them better nutrients, keeps them closer to home so they're not out wandering around. I can't go anywhere. Those of you that say that to your parents are just trying to help you. They want to keep you from harm. The devil's got lots out there that will ruin your life. It's not that they want to keep you in your room all stalled up where you're like, I can't have any fun. No, they're trying to keep you safe. Keep you blessed of God. Put them in a stall. Raise them up. Matthew 6:28 says here, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. So there's sometimes we can't do anything about it. We just need God. The lily can't plant itself. It can't water itself. It can't do that. It just needs God to grow. So we're seeing some principles here how we should grow. Some others that we should consider that will help us grow. And I'll just read these real quickly. Ephesians 4:15 says truth and love should grow in us. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 tells us that our faith should grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says that our grace and our knowledge should grow. Acts 12:24 says the Word of God should grow in us. Acts 19:20 says our soul winning should grow. In verse 19, it talks about how that they took the, the cult-ish books and the false books and they burned them. And in verse 20 says they found the truth, the Word of God, and it grew throughout the neighborhood. And so, again, that's what we're supposed to do. So, that is my introduction. So, for this to happen, we must grow spiritually. It's not making, turning over new leaves. It's not, programs. It's not social activities, which all those are fine and good. It's going to take us growing as an individual. Therefore, our families will be stronger. Then our church will be stronger. Now we're in Luke 2:52. Took me a while to get there, but we are there. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, says Jesus was a perfect example of this, of growing. Jesus increased. Again, another word for increased here would be to grow. He grew in wisdom. So in other words, he was thoroughly furnished. He could rightly divide the Word of God. He could teach and preach. He knew enough about the Bible that he had grown there. And it says here he grew in wisdom. And it says here he grew in stature. So not only did he grow in stature bodily, it was just a natural thing. You're growing up. Our boys, we had on the back of the bathroom wall. You know, when they were little, when we moved in there, we put a mark, took a ruler and put a mark, and put the date. And obviously we started doing that this now, and they passed me. One of them's about 6'3", one of them's about 6'2 and a half. And so that's on the back of the bathroom door at our house a long time ago. We kept up with it. So bodily is normal. But then we see here, it's also stature is what people's opinion of you is a stature. A stature. Your testimony, your reputation. And so Jesus had that. Not only was he getting bigger, is this not the carpenter's son? But now look at him. He's bigger. But he also had that. He grew in stature, the way people thought about him, his testimony. But as we see here, in favor with God and man. That word favor right there is the key to all of it. I can say I want to be a good soul winner, but unless I have God's help and His favor, I'm not going to be a good soul winner. I want to read the Bible and learn all I can about the Bible, but unless I have God's blessing on it to teach me and His favor, I'm not going to be a student of the Bible. We need God's favor. But then it says here, and with man. So a lot of people, they try to get so, in favor with man that they leave God out. Or some of them, they try to get so in favor with God, pharisaical, that they're no help with man. You might have heard it this way. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Now, I know that's not a verse, but that is a principle that is true. The Pharisees, they did their alms so they could be seen, not so that they could be a testimony. They did their prayers so they could be seen, not so they could be a good testimony. So you can get to doing all the do's and so forth and try to outgrow. So how to grow? The last 3 points that we'll look at, and we'll get finished hopefully by lunchtime. So the 3 points, how are we going to grow this year as a individual, as a family, as a church? Number one, it will take recognition on our part. It will take recognition on our part. Again, I can say as the pastor, we all need to grow. Hey, man, preacher, that's good. Okay, that's just a statement. It does nothing unless it's put into practice. And so a lot of us, including myself, still need to grow spiritually. Still need to grow in our Bible knowledge. Still need to grow in our Christian example and our living. We all still need to grow. So we have to recognize. Some of us are like, well, man, I've been in church for this many years. I got this church thing down. I say the right thing at the right time. We think we've mastered it. We can't get to that point. That's prideful. And we've actually stopped growing. And the devil's convinced us of that. So the first thing we need to do how to grow is it will take recognition on our part. A couple things that we need to recognize. Number one, and it's probably hard for some of you to say this, is I'm not perfect. And your wife could say, well, I know that's... We won't get involved there. But I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. Philippians 3:13. Paul was not perfect. He said, brethren, all you saved fellows, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul's like, I haven't become perfect. The Bible says, be perfect for I am perfect. We ought to be becoming perfect. We ought to try, but we're not going to get there. Paul's like, in recognition, I'm not perfect. Here's another one. I'm not always right. I'm not always right. Some of you ladies might say, well, I thought I married Mr. Right. I just didn't realize his first name was Always. And we won't call anybody's name right there. But anyway, I'm not always right. So again, if I'm going to grow as an individual, I got to realize I'm not perfect. I haven't apprehended. I haven't mastered it. And I'm not always right. Some of us, we're very opinionated. And we're like, I might be wrong. And if you can show me in the Bible that I am, I will fix it. So, I'm not always right. Let's look at a couple of verses. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says the exact same thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So, we're not always right. So, this year when we talk about growing, I'm grown. I'm a mature Christian. I've got it figured out. Let's just realize recognition here on our part. I'm not perfect. I'm not always right. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25 says the exact same thing. In those days there were no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth his heart. So I'm not always right. It takes recognition on my part. And third thing underneath this one, I am not finished yet. God's not finished yet. I talked about a while ago singing the nursery songs. We could all sing, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars. He's still working on me. At 55, He's still working on me. I'm not finished. So it's going to take recognition on my part. I want to grow, not this year, but the year after that and the year after that. I want to grow, so it's going to take recognition on my part. I'm not perfect. I'm not always right. And God's not finished yet. Number two, not only will it take recognition on my part, it will take repentance on my part. Some of us, we know we're not always right. We know we're not perfect, but we won't admit it. The devil's like, man, you're going to look weak in front of people. They're going to make fun of you. You know, who cares? All right? What does it matter in the light of eternity? I'm going to stand before God one day. That's what we ought to worry about. But we see here, it's going to take repentance on my part. So if I say, all right, I recognize it. I'm not perfect. I'm not always right. God's not finished. I want to grow. So it's going to take repentance on my part. A couple things underneath this. I do admit my mistakes. I do admit my mistakes. Job 42:6 says this, wherefore I abhor myself. This is what Job said. You know, won't you curse God now? Well, look at all this. I don't deserve any of it. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm nothing. I'm not going to say God owes me and this is not right. Rah, rah. No. I abhorred myself and repent in dust and ashes. So he had the right attitude here. He's like, I admit I've made mistakes. And one of these, like we talked about trendy things a while ago and maybe church decorations, things like that. But here's one of those trendy things. Self-love. Self-love. Oh, you deserve it. What we deserve is hell. All right? If we get a bubble bath, praise the Lord. All right? Oh, you deserve it. All right? We deserve hell. If we get a week's vacation, paid vacation, praise the Lord. We don't deserve it. All right? So that mentality is put in people. Self-love, self. Oh, here's a good one. You can't help anybody until you help yourself. And I get it. You ought to study the Word of God. Let it speak to you. Then therefore teach it to somebody else. I get that. But that self-love. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. So Job, you know, I abhor myself. Now, I get it. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're a creation of God. You know, I can do all things through Christ. We have to have that balance. of humility. Humble yourself. The Bible says that you'll be a lot better off to humble yourself. If God has to humble you, it takes more. So humble yourself. So we see it. It takes repentance on my part. I admit my mistakes. Ezekiel 18:30 says this, "Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall be not your ruin." So it's going to take repentance on our part. So everything that God shows you this year, everything that you see from the Word of God that your life doesn't line up with, everything, all of our transgression, if we'll just repent of that, turn from it, our life will not be ruined. So number one underneath, it'll take repentance on our part, was I admit my mistakes. Here's another one. I acknowledge my mistakes. Psalm 51:3, David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is forever before me." This was the biggest difference between David and Saul. The Bible says Saul wist not that the Holy Spirit had left him or God had left him. Because he's too prideful. I'm not admitting anything. I'm the king. I'm this. But David, we know, made a big mistake. But here's his difference. He says here, "I acknowledge my transgressions. I blew it." Praise God for mercy. They're new every morning, the Bible says. So again, now it's not a license to sin. Go do your wrong. God, my bad. And it's okay. No. It says turn. Let Him help you. Acknowledge your mistakes. And the last thing we see here, I accept my mistakes. Psalm 66:18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It's kind of like that song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord." Standing in the need of prayer. Acknowledge it. Accept it. Psalm 51:4 says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." So if we're going to grow this year as an individual, which will help us grow as a family and help us grow as a church, we have to recognize on our part. We have to repent on our part. And thirdly and finally, it will take restructuring on our part. Restructuring on our part. We've had a few, but still have a young lady here on crutches and had a cast back there on the back not too long ago. They were displaced, they were broken, they were messed up. What did the doctor do? Put a brace on it, cast on it, a splint on it, and rehab. All right, trying to get it back to its structured part, restructuring. They're taking work and pray for them so that they can heal up. But that's what it's going to take on our part if we're going to grow. This little pinky right here, if I put my, you know, you got your little lines here on your fingers. If I put the bottom lines straight together, you can see that right pinky is a little bit shorter than my left pinky. And I'm not doing this, all right? I'm lining up the lines, all right? Because at 16, this one, I broke it for the third or fourth time, and the doctor said, "Dude," he can call me dude too, all right? That finger's through growing. I broke it one time on a motorcycle. It pulled back like this. It was sticking this way and broke my wrist. My dog ran in front of me, and I hit him on my motorcycle. Got the cast off. A week later, I'm playing basketball. Guy throws the basketball at me, and I threw my hand up, and the basketball hit it right there, exploded my knuckle. So that pinky is not growing anymore. But both times, they were trying to restructure it. Maybe you've had reconstructive surgery. So it takes effort to make things back like it used to be. So if I recognize there's a problem, I need to repent of it and say, okay, now what do I do to fix it? Obviously, skipping church would be a sin for a Christian. I recognize that. I'm sorry, Lord, that I skipped church. What am I going to do? Have my backside in the pew Sunday. I've restructured my Christian life. Not reading the Bible is a sin. I got to have my daily bread. I recognize that. I'm sorry, Lord. Open it up tomorrow morning. It's not that difficult. It will help us grow, though, if we restructure some things. Three things are in this and we'll be done. I was wrong and I'm going to change. Philippians 3:13 says this, and we read it a while ago. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Here's the next part of it. "But this one thing I do." Okay, Paul said, I'm changing. I'm going to forget those things which are behind and I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. So Paul made a change, a restructure in his self. Number two, I was wrong, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God change me. Again, Paul did turn over a new leaf by saying, this one thing I do, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do this. But that wasn't all that he did. He allowed the Word of God to come and the Holy Spirit of God to come. Because if you just turn over a new leaf, you're going to go right back. You've got to have those concreted things in your life, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, I read this a couple weeks ago, beholding as in a glass, look in the Bible as a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, not only should we reconstruct or restructure, I, Paul said, now we see here the Lord did, and the last thing, I was wrong, and I will be where I need to be so I can get the help that I need. I will be where I need to be so I can get the help that I need. Again, if you're sick, there's one thing about being tough. It'll pass. All right? There's one thing about taking some medicine, but then there's another thing about going to the doctor. Okay? I've been to the doctor three times now in my life. Once when I was born, I didn't have a say about it. All right, there I was. Number two, when I broke that arm that I was talking, that pinky and that wrist that I was talking about, got a cast on it. Other than that, never been to the hospital till last year. I woke up in the middle of the night, sweating, hurting, worst pain I've ever felt in my life. So, of course, what do? WebMD. What's going on? All right, and so WebMD says you're either having a ruptured appendix, appendicitis, and if that explodes and that gets inside of you, it could be a bad deal. All right, or you're having a kidney stone. All right, so either way, I was hurt. So I told her, you're going to take me to the doctor. And so she knew, obviously, if I was going to the doctor, again, I've taped things together and all that kind of stuff, patched myself up. I don't go to the doctor. But I went to the doctor. And he's like, you know, fill out these paperwork. I was like, no. I don't need to fill out any paperwork. You need to cut me open and get whatever's causing this out now. All right? And so, fill out this paperwork. Ugh. I was like, you know, what in the world? You got to fill out paperwork if you're about, you know, one breath from death? But anyway, I'm filling out paperwork. While I'm sitting there, the pain goes away. Whew. And I was like, well, I'm going home. No. I was like, I don't hurt anymore. I'm going home. But it could have ruptured and all that stuff. We need to CAT scan you and all this kind of, ugh. So I went. So we see they were checking me out. So, but my point is, I was where I needed to be to get the help that I needed. In the doctor's office. They know more than WebMD. They know more than Granny. Rub some dirt on it, you'll be all right. All right. They know more than that. I was where I needed to be to get the help. Praise the Lord, it passed and I was gone. All right. I think they put it in a little jar, a keepsake. Forsake not the assembling. Hebrews 10:25. We know this is where we need to be to get the help we need. This is where God says come. Get the mail. Next, Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. You know, if you're in a bar and you got a drinking problem, that's not going to fix it. That's giving place to the devil. If you have a problem with any other thing, going where you might have that in your hands or eyes or whatever, is not the place to be. Be where you can get some help. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. So praise the Lord for a church where I can hear the Word of God, feel the Spirit of God, be around the family of God, and get my iron sharpened with iron. I'm going to be where I need to be to get the help. So how am I going to grow this year? Recognize, repent, and restructure. And that'll help us all grow this year as an individual. And then each individual, again, kids and teenagers, if everything else is going right in your house, you might be the problem. Kids can grow spiritually. Teenagers can grow spiritually. Parents can grow spiritually. But if each individual grows spiritually, that family will be a stronger unit. Help each other. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. And then praise God for a church. Again, I appreciate all the help Thursday, getting those pods unloaded. Praise God for friends. Praise God for a church. Praise God for good servants of God that will help in that. Again, it humbled me. I didn't want to ask for that. Didn't have to ask for that. It was a volunteer, and I appreciate it. But that's what makes a church. But I want our church to grow. Again, it's not the banners that's going to cause it. It's not the invite cards that you're going to get Wednesday that's going to cause it. It's us lifting Him up and He will draw all men. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to help us all to desire to grow as that individual. That's what we're going to stand before you and give an account for. But Lord, for such a time as this, that dad needs to be the dad he needs to be. That mom needs to be the mom she needs to be. That kid needs to be the kid that he or she needs to be, and that teenager needs to be. Lord, help us all, Lord, to pray for each other. Thank you for a church of great Christians that can fellowship together, and iron sharpeneth iron. Again, not a competition, but Lord, a backup, a help, a sharpening iron. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If you're not saved and you need to be saved, come to this morning and I'll show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, we're going to have a baptism on the 12th. Just let me know. We can add you to it. Obviously, grasp the theme, pray about the theme. If I can help you in any way, any questions you might have, just feel free to ask me. And Lord, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our church. Again, I meeting with Brother Raji and Brother Derek. I'm not sure if all of you have seen it before, but I saw the, portrait, the rendition of another building out there, things like that, blueprints of it. That'll take place one day if we grow in here. We have to have it. And so, again, we're going to have different things with that theme all over it this year. And of course, we tithe. That takes care of the church stuff, and we give to missions. Obviously, praise the Lord for that. I believe it's called Vision on there, or Building Program, things like that. We'll start giving towards that. So if it does, or when it does happen in the future, we'll be setting aside money for that, things like that. But we want to grow. But again, that'll all take care of itself. You just take care of you. You grow spiritually, individually, and then be what you need to be for these other things. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And again, we ask you to help us, Lord, to be excited, first of all, about being saved. And Lord, secondly, being a part of helping our church grow. And Lord, I just ask you to just be with us today. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely tonight. And Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.